Man in Line.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio. Text, WhatsApp, email or call. The floor is yours. We're open line through till one today. So whatever it is you'd like to talk about. I just wonder how much this money valve thing is bothering you. The Isle of Man faces reviewed scrutiny over this money valve inspection. Concerns raised over anti-money laundering effectiveness. As the international assessment approaches, it's big, big, big. It has big implications for the Isle of Man. I just wonder, on a day-to-day basis, is it something that bothers you? I suppose the thought is we've been all right up until now, haven't we? We'll see. And what do you think of this Clowngate thing? Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper, referred to some Tynwald members as clowns. Is that just joshing about, or do you think there's something more serious behind it? Text, email, call, WhatsApp, and David's first with us today. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. And I sent you over the weekend, hopefully you got it, all this information regarding the keys sitting on Tuesday.
Yes, yes.
So my point is, as an individual commissioner for Ankeny, is to encourage all the local authority members who are available tomorrow is to lobby the keys or be present in the chamber where this Clause 5 of the Local Government Act will be discussed. Obviously, it's too long to go on the radio with all the information there, but I have to thank the Municipal Association and those local authority clerks and all those involved in putting this pack together. There's about 15 or 20 pages there of scenarios and different things. And it'll be, democracy will hopefully succeed tomorrow in the House of Keys, where the members of the Keys will actually get rid of this Clause 5.
Well, you said it's too long to go through. I think we can praise it by the fact that this is Clause 5 is basically aiming to kind of hijack the powers of local authorities and also
Correct.
Charge them for it.
Yeah, and indirectly then we have to put it on the rates, which is a nonsense. And this, the pack or this information we've got now actually brings into question too, is when the MLCs, I'm not blaming them, when they had the department in the chamber. I thought it was quite strange where they had the minister for DOI, Mr. Hooper, and some civil servants there in the chamber as well, discussing our future and legislation, which is, should be discussed, where the local authority members weren't allowed, restricted from bringing their clerks into the chamber, but sat in the public gallery. There must have been about 25, 30 local authority members. I've never seen so many members in the Tymble chamber, because they had to use that Tymble chamber to actually discuss it, and it went on for quite a bit. For those that are not interested in politics, I would suggest to them that this is an opportunity to get some information and see what's going on and make a judgment themselves.
Well, it's fair to say, David, this has absolutely unified local authority members, hasn't it? Which is probably unheard of before.
It is. It's just like there's only one team in town, isn't it? And we've all supporting this particular team. And at the end of the day, we're asking now our public representatives, which are our MHKs. I've already been on to a few of them. And I've left a message for the Chief Minister and also the President of Tymwald to ask him the question. I'm going to ask the question to him, was it right for the department to be in the Legislative Council chamber and asking, responding to questions backwards and forwards when the local authority clerks were restricted or weren't allowed actually to say anything at all? That's not democracy, is it?
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. And as you say, I mean, I've had notes from lots and lots of, I mean, Andrews Parish Commissioners have contacted me saying it's supported by the majority of local authorities. And as I say, this is, it's quite, for non-students of politics, let me tell you, this is quite remarkable that everybody's pulling on the same rope.
It is, and definitely I will be there. So if anybody doesn't know me, maybe doesn't want to sit next to me, I'll be in the chamber, but you'll tell me because I'll have an Onkel jacket on, okay?
Okay. Thanks for calling.
See, I'll let you know tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for calling. Of course, we'll have somebody in the chamber tomorrow, so we'll find out exactly what happens. It really has this local government amendment bill 2023, clause 5, which basically seeks to take authority from local authorities if they basically if they conclude that the local authority has been negligent in doing something, the government can take over, do it, and then charge the local authorities the going rate for doing it, of course, as David said, which will then have to be passed on in the rates. It's complicated. It's complicated on the surface. Underneath, it's fairly simple. Do you let the local authority do it, or do you want the government to intervene on this? Any thoughts? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. Let's get to Howard with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. A bit of a pat on the back to you, young man, and to our, well, a politician on the south of the island, Jason Muirhouse. I noticed on both 3FM and on your website that he's picked up on the interpreters, the use of and the cost of, and asking question on that. And also on the criteria for people coming to live on the island for, how can I say, the ability to speak English. Now, this is something that, well, I personally raised last week, and it must have been a seed in the back of Jason's head there, and now he's brought it to the fore, and he's asking questions on it in Timwold. I wonder how far he'd be allowed to progress on that.
What do you think we need to know, Howard?
Well, what is the cost? Who's paying for it? This is for interpreters. And people come onto your program afterwards and said, more or less what I was thinking, that if you have to have an interpreter, okay, the some people come on and said, well, it might be a defendant, it might be someone that doesn't, but that doesn't mean to say there's not a fee. That person who is the interpreter will be charging a fee. And the cost of that fee should go to the person who is the defendant in the court costs. You don't seem to see much awarded in court costs these days. There used to be a regular thing there. You got fined plus court costs. Nowadays, it's only a couple hundred quid, which for most people in that way of life is not a lot because they just turn around and say, I can't pay it. But the interpreters, they're going to have to be used more and more, which is a cost that's going to fall on the taxpayers as opposed to the people who require them. Now, as one chap came in, said if I went to Spain or somewhere like that, and he would have to provide an interpreter himself. And we were away one year, and we were in Mallorca, and the police out there, I don't know whether they still have it, they had a little badge on their uniforms, and it was either American flag, the British flag, or world flag, and that's the languages they were able to speak in. And that gave you, if you went and you saw somebody, a policeman, and you spoke to them in English, you knew that he would understand you. But I'm not saying they're going to put that here, but if they didn't, you would have to have an interpreter at your cost. And this is what the Manx government and the courts, they just seem to be going carte blanche. Oh, well, it's all right, book it to the taxpayer. Well, that's not what we pay our money for, subsidising people who want to come and live amongst an English-speaking community and have interpreters at the people that they're committing a crime against paying for it.
And there's a wider question as well that, you know, if people are coming to the Isle of Man, I mean, is it incumbent on them to learn English, to know English, to be proficient in English?
Well, I know one person who was here and they spoke English and they were an interpreter. Well, unfortunately, that was a large gambling company and lost its license and disappeared. But they had interpreters here that spoke both English and various languages around the world, but they were paid for that job. But anybody coming to the island and going into a job, surely they must have, just to put it bluntly, a smattering of English.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the thing is, you're not going to get much of a social life if you don't speak English, are you?
This is one of the things I was saying about they're going to become insular. They won't interact. They won't join anything. They'll be collective in their own little silo, and that will build up different sections of community off the island, whereas everybody knows if I sneeze, half the island's got a cold. And that's how it used to go downtown. And you, hi, John. Because when we first went into town and got married, my wife said, he knows everybody downtown. You know, which is how it was. But now you can go through Strand Street and a lot of times you don't even hear English spoken. You know, okay, everybody's entitled to come providing they're of suitable character, but we should not have to subsidise the payments of any interpreters required within the courts.
Okay.
And I was just saying about the other, where he is making inquiries as to what the criteria is now for people coming to the island, which indirectly is linked.
Hmm. Okay, all right, Howard, okay. We appreciate it. We'll wait to hear what happens. Thanks for calling today, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
Okay, 17 minutes past 12. I was disappointed in Mr. Hooper's comments, says Texter 378. I thought that when the Chief Minister accused him of gaslighting, he was more mature than responding in fashion. I hope this election brings a good calibre, a better calibre of politician. Well, we'll see, won't we? We'll find out later on this year. And of course, everybody's got virtually an equal opportunity to stand. Maybe we have a future chief minister listening to Man in Light today. You never know. Let's get to Betty with us now. Hello, Betty.
Hi. I'm not necessarily a big fan of Laurie Hooper, but honestly, calling somebody a clown, it's nothing much, really. Clowns are often help to make people happy. But apart from that, it's silly making a fuss about calling somebody a clown. You know, he could have said much, much worse. And people often do, not on air, but they often do. So I don't know why such a fuss is being made about this, quite honestly. I really don't, and I agree with what Howard was saying as well previously. And I often agree with what Julian and Julian says as well.
Are you standing for Keys this year, Betty?
I am not.
I'm just checking, that's all.
Nobody would vote for me.
You never know, do you?
Anyway, I just think they're making a big fuss about calling somebody. People are getting too easily upset these days, I think.
Okay. All right, Betty, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, 19 minutes past 12 on Man in Line. This is all about the language used by Manx politicians online. It follows fallout on social media after one of the Ramsey MHKs, Laurie Hooper, referred to some Timwell members as clowns. Onken representative Rob Callister MHK says the remark fell below standards expected of elected representatives.
We know there's so much more work needs to be done in the future, but to have a colleague stand up and call his colleagues clowns is totally inappropriate. Do I want to make a formal complaint about him? No. I just hope he reflects more on his language, because this job is tough enough.
Well, what side do you fall on? I mean, is that just banter that we should expect, or is calling somebody a clown? When you're in a professional environment, I mean, this is online, but I just wonder what you think about this. This is something we will be going a lot into between now and the election, and certainly the online abuse and invective and ribbing that politicians get. Where do you draw the line? At what point do you say that's enough? There's joshing, there's banter, and then there's insulting behaviour. What do you think? I mean, try and put yourself in a politician's position. And at what point would you start to think, actually, that's just a bit too much? Rob Callister's over the top in his criticism of Laurie Hooper. Get on with the job, don't be so sensitive, says James. Thanks also to... this was Simon who said Laurie Hooper should have referred to them as overpaid underachievers instead of being as insulting to clowns. You see, is it too much? I just wonder what you think. I came on Man in Line about 2 years ago and more, says Sharon. With regards to the state of some of our pavements, over the Christmas period, the weather and the time allowed us to do some walking. I'm appalled to see the pavements I've walked on still haven't improved. And if anything, they've got worse. You literally wouldn't be able to push a pram along some of these pavements. I have to go back to the busy, fast road. I don't know that one of these pavements is used by young children walking from school in the afternoon. I've taken a few photographs to back up this email and will share you with them to review. I can't see how to do this via your studio email. Well, the minister's on the programme on Friday. Michelle Hayward will be on, but by all means, Sharon, if you want to email the photos to my personal email, which is andywint@manxradio.com, andywint@manxradio.com, Sharon, and particularly, thank you for raising that, Sharon, and I'm interested to know that they haven't improved in a couple of years. Mind you, I have to declare a bit of an interest here. There's a pavement just below Manx Radio on Head Road that is absolutely overgrown. There are two sides to Head Road. One's got quite a nice pavement. The other one is utterly, utterly overgrown. It's almost like it was never there. It's overgrown. So there could be two sides to Douglas Head in terms of the pavements, but at the moment there's only one, going right down almost to Fort William. As the next election, prospective MHKs will say that they want to work to improve Manx care, says Gary, to build more homes and to improve the economy. They'll perhaps say they'll address the growing size of government and look at immigration issues. I do hope that the next election voters don't elect MHKs based on populist throwaway statements and ask exactly how they will deliver their promises, says Gary. I believe it's extremely probable we'll end up with another group who will accept years of inertia by government on important issues, but become very energised when it comes to arguing about whether they should be called clowns or not based on their past performance, says Gary. Well, you raise a very good point, Gary, as to exactly how an MHK can affect legislation. Well, Laurie Hooper's affected legislation. He was the one that brought up the bishop's vote. Alex Allenson affected legislation. He was the one that proposed the private members bill for assisted dying. So with a private members bill, if it gets picked up, they can affect it now as to how to affect the big things. And I'm not saying the bishop's vote and assisted dying isn't a big thing, but the economy is what pays for everything. So how can a newly elected MHK sitting there at the moment, perhaps writing their manifesto, just to think how stuff can be affected? In the absence of a climate referendum, election 26 will be treated as such, and MHKs could lose votes for supporting green policy, says Gaz. Well, by the same token, they could win votes for supporting the green policy. It just depends who's voting for them. And obviously, Stu Peters gave it a go to try and get a referendum, a green referendum, a net zero referendum, at the same time as the plebiscite later on this year, the election this year, but it didn't work. The local authority bill and clause 5 dates back to, I think, when Phil Gawn was at in DOI. So, let me see. Poacher turned gamekeeper, says Fran. Phil, you're going to have to speak to Phil himself about that. I can't speak on behalf of Phil. To become an Australian citizen, says Margaret, you have to be able to speak the language and also do an examination on the culture of the country. And you have to pass it. Can't just sit it. If people don't have English, they simply won't integrate and they'll stay in their own groups. Certainly the Isle of Man taxpayers should be absolutely, definitely not paying for interpreters. says Margaret. You got any thoughts on this? Surely if you go to live in another country, wouldn't you want to learn the language? Obviously, there's a professional obligation to do stuff. But how are you going to meet people if you don't? Can anybody explain why, when you don't have email addresses, you get voting paper in the post, you have to ring up for an envelope that doesn't stick and pay stamp to return your paperwork, when the government should supply a return paid envelope, says Anna. And if you don't send it, you're told it may affect your application for a loan. That's really bad, says Anna. Have you had one of those recently? Does your envelope stick down? I do think that name-calling should be discouraged in Tynwald, as it's supposed to be a serious and professional environment. If this is allowed, where do you draw the line, says H. Well, the Speaker, obviously Juan Watterson of the House of Keys, and the President of Tynwald, Mr. Skelly, obviously make sure that there's no unparliamentary language. And certainly if there is, they're brought to account over it. Outside, again, we're getting into this situation where certainly in chat rooms and online, language can vary, shall we say. Call, text, email, WhatsApp. Any thoughts on this? By all means, do get in touch.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Divorce doesn't have to mean a bitter battle in court. If you're both willing, an amicable divorce is possible. Man Benham Advocates supports respectful separation, saving you time, cost, and unnecessary stress.
We can help you utilise non-court methods to agree on finances and efficiently formalise your financial consent order. We aim for a respectful new beginning. Start your amicable path. Call Man Benham for your free confidential initial chat on 639 350.
The Morvenin Offshore Wind Farm is more than just renewable energy. It is a commitment to future generations. Discover how we're helping the Isle of Man to transition to using green energy. Visit Orsted.im.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
29 minutes after 12 on Manx Radio. Thanks for dropping by today. And I just did my electoral form, put it back in the envelope it arrived in, put some sticky tape along to seal it, put it in the postbox as return to sender. Job done, says Andy. That's how to do it. The two things that you mentioned weren't part of anybody's mandate, nor did anybody ask them for that. The two things were the assisted dying bill and the bishop's vote. But the current government has spent most of the last 5 years debating them at the cost of millions and totally ignored the important issues that the electorate were concerned about. That's, let me see, text in from 404. Point taken, 404. Also, did you hear the BBC broadcast yesterday from the Isle of Man on Sunday worship called God's Light on the Isle of Man? Very good, says John. I think Judith Leigh was involved in that. Thank you, John. Good to hear from you. Have you spotted, this is Peter who just said, I heard all this thing about Portuguese man of war, but I've not seen one. Has anybody actually seen a Portuguese man of war? The recent storms brought a Portuguese man of war. Is it men of war or mans of war? Anyway, these things, which apparently are vivid blue and have been reported on a number of beaches. Have you seen any? Take a photo, or if you've got a photo, drop one to us. Manx Wildlife Trust says they're fascinating to see, but you should admire them from a distance, because it's awfully painful. Have you spotted a blue Portuguese man of war? I've been waiting for a hip replacement, says Texter 705 or 075. I waited 6 months just to see the consultant. Then I've been told by the medical secretary that the waiting list is 4 years. Is this true? 4 years after that for the operation. I'm in a lot of pain, taking 8 prescribed paracetamol a day, so it feels like a race between kidney failure and total hip collapse. Am I the only one? Says Texter 075. 4 years after diagnosis for a hip replacement. Is that true? They were racing through them, weren't they, before with Synaptic. If you've got a tale to tell like that, or if you've got a better tale to tell, then it will be good to hear. I would just like to say how I'm disappointed with Garth MHK's, says 431. Which Garth MHK? And you can speak to MHKs. I mean, if you're disappointed with an MHK, they are very, very approachable. And if there's something that you want to talk about, then by all means, get in touch with your MHK. We're probably more in touch with elected representatives than anywhere else in the world. Their details are at tynwald.org, and you can speak to them. And if you're disappointed in an MHK, then by all means, get in touch. Thank you, Louise, who just said, I'd like to thank Manx Radio for the range of Manx Gaelic programmes that are broadcast. Sunday afternoon, of course, there's Phil Gorn, Bobby Bob, John Billy. We've got Shaq Lay on Thursday as well. And love to hear the Manx when it's spoken on the air. Well, thank you for that. And if you want more information about speaking Manx, obviously Manx Radio's got lots of Manx Gaelic on the website at manxradio.com. But if you want to learn Manx, the website you need to go to is learnmanx.com. Learnmanx.com. And I'm sure you'll be, and if you nip along to St. John's, pop into the house, then I'm sure they'll tell you all about it. There's a Manx development, language development officer. But learnmanx.com is the email address for learning to speak Manx. And thank you to It's Faye, who just said, you talked the other day about things going wrong financially on the Isle of Man. What exactly did you mean? Well, a number of financial irregularities reported to Treasury has increased year on year. Information from the Audit Advisory Division has been shared in response to a Tynwald question for written answer to Dr. Allenson. The number of financial irregularities reported to Treasury has increased. The types of financial irregularity are separated into bribery and corruption, budget or income management, contractual, procurement governance, theft or fraud, payroll or pension management, operational and internal error. Now, the number of reports increases from 25 in 21-22 to 50 in 22-23, 70 in 23-24, and 85 across 24 and 25. The breakdown of the types of financial irregularities reported shows the majority across the past 2 years relate to procurement governance. In the last financial year, there were 28 reports which fell into the category, while there were 22 reports of FIs, classed as operational, financial irregularity that is, classed as operational, 17 in respect of contractual concerns, 11 concerning theft or fraud, and 3 concerning bribery and corruption. Now, action taken by the AAD, the AAD is the Audit Advisory Division, remains ongoing in respect of a small number of reports across each of the last 4 years. Now, this was all in response to a question from the Onchan MHK, Julie Edge, where Dr. Allenson said, that the Audit Advisory Division help scrutinise public spending, hold government to account, drive improvement in public services and protect the public against dishonesty, and the work serves a substantial public interest. Investigations include financial irregularities where information provided on the form is provided in confidence and investigated under a statutory function in the public interest of preventing or detecting unlawful acts and preventing the public protecting the public against dishonesty. If you want more information, I'm sorry to go through all that, but it was requested. If you want more information, if you go to manxradio.com, there was a story on that. I think it was last week or so, but there's a full link to that. The Audit Advisory Division and the number of financial irregularities reported to Treasury, which is in the past year, 85. So that element of transparency certainly being displayed. I've been in pain for 2 years before I saw one of the surgeon's team. She quickly confirmed I needed a hip replacement. Texter 057. The estimated wait, another year. Well, it's not brilliant, but it's better than 4 years, isn't it? And you can hand your election form in at Ramsey Town Library into the dedicated postbox. Maybe other local authorities are doing it. In fact, I would suggest that people should question the prospective MHKs about their stance on the very unfair payment for nursing home care. The health minister has assured me that debate will be progressed during this administration, and I hope it is. The DHSC also needs to be far more transparent about who pays when a patient's money runs out, as families are currently confused and some are bluntly frightened, says S. Thank you, S. And Manx should be taught all the way from reception through to the end of high school, says Charlie. Well, Charlie, it's a lot better than it used to be, let's face it. There was a time in the 1950s when Manx almost died out. And there were tales years ago of anybody who spoke Manx used to get a clout around the head from parents or grandparents saying it wasn't the way forward. Now you hear a lot more Manx, certainly in the past 20-odd years, than you heard before. But anyway, point taken. But we do have the Bond School, where learning is through Manx. So that's something that we have to be grateful for, keeping the Manx language alive. I agree with Howard, says Linda. We lived in Spain for a time. We had to pay for interpreters ourselves. So quite right. Why should the island pay? I would prefer IMHKs to spend their time dealing with important issues on the Isle of Man rather than pandering to what I see as populist issues stirred up by a vocal minority. The time spent on questions that bring no real benefit seems excessive. And the claim that you can walk through Strand Street and hardly hear English spoken is, in my view, that's Steve's opinion, not accurate. I would prefer, says Steve, another Steve, our MHKs, oh no, same one, I wonder what the outcome will be if Keir Starmer called Donald Trump a clown. Thank you, Tim. Who cares? If it's considered disrespectful to call MHKs clowns, why should members be required to refer them as honourable members during the sittings of Tynwald, says 648. Well, they do that because that's the form. That's the format. Whether or not they think they're honourable is neither here nor there. That's just what you do.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Looking to make the most of your savings? Cornerstone Bank offer a range of savings options, from fixed terms of 6 months to 3 years to variable rate notice accounts with notice periods of 95 to 180 days. And choose monthly or annual interest, whatever works for you. For the latest rates and an application form, check out cornerstonebank.co.im. Cornerstone Bank, celebrating 90 years of community, heritage and connection. Here for the journey. All deposits are subject to status, terms and conditions apply. No early withdrawals permitted. Qualifying deposits made with Cornerstone Bank are covered by the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme as set out in the Depositors Compensation Scheme Regulations 2010.
Give your home a facelift with Manx Glass and Glazing. Whether choosing aluminium or UPVC in traditional or contemporary styles, you can be sure of excellent workmanship and guarantees. Members of Construction Isle of Man and family run for over 30 years, Manx Glass and Glazing are committed to the local community.
And they invest in future generations through their apprenticeship scheme. Visit the impressive showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate. Trust Manx Glass and Glazing. Quality and style since 1986.
The sailor's on.
The Millichap sale has up to 50% off across all departments. From luxurious beds and bedding, carpets and flooring, to soft furnishings, stylish sofas, and the ultimate in comfort, stressless. There's something for every home at the Millichap sale.
The sailor's on.
The fabulous Millichap sale is on now, with huge reductions store-wide. Call in today.
The sailor's on.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Honken MHK Rob Collister was in the Falkland Islands last month as part of a Commonwealth Parliamentary Association team of election observers. You'll be pleased to know this visit was not funded by the taxpayer, but you may be interested to know what the Isle of Man can learn from such trips. Mr. Collister tells us all on Agenda this evening at 5:30 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. With a 90% turnout in Falklands elections, it seems trust in politicians is much higher there than here. Unlike here, they don't call each other clowns in the Falklands government. Is it okay for us to call Tynwald members clowns? Or just think it, but don't say it out loud.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hey, it's 19 minutes before one. Jeff dropped a note in there. Charlie's got a decent point about Manx being taught more than it already is, but I think Gaelic should be the priority. Gaelic as in Irish, or Manx Gaelic. When an MHK is elected, says, this is from 431, they shouldn't be allowed to run another business in conjunction with being an MHK. Why? They can, if the MHKs can have business interests, as long as there's no conflict. I can't see the point of that. Anyway, that's anonymous from 431. Why do you think that, 431? Is that just an opinion, or is it based on something that... I think we've got to go through this thing in detail, because otherwise, if you're wondering now why we're talking about clowns all the time, it follows the fallout on social media after Laurie Hooper, the Ramsey MHK, referred to some Tynwald members as clowns. Now, you heard what Rob Callister, the Onken MHK, had to say earlier on. Given we're at the start of an election year, it might not be surprising to hear that the war of words between politicians is heating up. Now, if you trace this particular tiff, whatever you want to call it, it starts with Infrastructure Minister and Russian MHK Michelle Haywood. Michelle's here on Friday. She called out abusive comments directed to her online. In a statement on her constituency account, she said she's happy to discuss any matter in a calm and respectful way. But if you come onto my post to make allegations about ulterior motives, cast aspersions, or cast doubt on her character, post clown emojis, or disparage me in any way, then I'll hide your comments or turn off the comments on that post. That's on a personal account. Some heeded Dr. Haywood's message, others not much so. In response to the article written about the minister's statement, Mr. Hooper said, if only we could remove the clowns from Tynwald too. That's how it all started. And obviously Rob Callister had something to do. We offered Laurie Hooper the chance to respond to Rob Callister, but he didn't want to. He said he'd already given his say online, saying that clown comment was lighthearted and a reference to previous headlines. He said he knew he'd ruffled some feathers about the clown's comment, reflecting a lot of commentary and sentiment. But this, obviously, let's hope this is the last we hear of something like this, because we have prospective politicians who are lining up and will be lining up to represent you in the House of Keys later on this year for the election. And the whole point about insulting people, casting aspersion on people, will be brought into sharp focus. And maybe something we'll talk to Michelle Haywood about this on Friday, about personal comments and comments that are made online about MHKs, MLCs, politicians in general, or civil servants for that matter. And again, these are normally made anonymously or with a sort of nom de plume. Is it something that, and again, I'd ask you to put yourself in their position. If that were you, what would you think? If you were a politician and somebody came online, went online and started casting aspersions on your character, about your family, about your background or anything like that, how would you feel about that? Genuinely, how would you feel about it? Try and step to one side and think, what would you do when trying to get on with your job? We should be teaching all sorts of languages. And will the back Santon Road be open in time for the Island Games in 3 years? They're building a tunnel there, aren't they? To get from one side, from the hotel through to the golf. I think it's part of the... Is it for the Island Games in 3 years' time? I think that's supposed to be open at the end of February, isn't it? The back Santon Road. The Falklands population is 3,600 people and 26,000 penguins. Says Peter. I'll be honest with you, I think it's 250,000 penguins. But anyway. The top news item of the day is the local government amendment bill. By all means, the clowns debate is redundant in the face of this. This is 692. Keys sit tomorrow, and if the bill passes, services may get transferred to local authorities. No decrease in taxes, but rates rocket. Stealth taxation, you will pay twice. Well, 692, give us a call. Tell me what your thoughts are. Where that David's already talked about it. We've had a message from Antres commissioners all about it. I'm glad Mr. Hooper has shown the standard of the man. Says Paul, a clown is defined as an entertainer. Now, MHKs provide us with entertainment in varying degrees. MHKs should follow the social media policy for government employees. At the end of the day, they represent the Isle of Man, says Andrea. The Chief Minister has pledged to rein in public sector headcount. Questions remain about where things stand at the moment. 18 months ago, the Chief Minister pledged to rein in headcount in the public sector. Now, figures show staff numbers rose by about 60 over the last two quarters of 2025, while more than 130 roles are currently under review. Now, at the same time, 44 vacancies are being advertised on the government's jobs portal. Now, with the public sector headcount emerging as a key election issue, according to data from a Manx Radio survey, let's listen to Prospect, the union's Mick Hewer, and the National Secretary, Jez Stewart, about this subject.
Well, we use terms like efficiency savings. Personally, I believe that we should use the proper word, cuts, because that's generally what it will manifest itself as. Coming up to election year, I think that we'll see a lot more reference to managing the government headcount, however they want to do that, probably because it's the topic that's going to get votes. I think what it does is cause a lot of unrest amongst members with worry and additional stress.
And when a post becomes vacant and isn't refilled to meet a headcount target, what generally happens to the workload? Are your members experiencing an almost creeping increase in responsibilities?
Yes, definitely, 100%. Things are appearing in job descriptions through stealth. More than anything, not through negotiation.
If obviously the government does have a target to meet £50 million worth of savings by 2030, how do you think it would be able to go about doing that without cutting services if headcount was to remain at its current level?
I think that's a very difficult question. I understand the public service provision on this island is very good. And that's been achieved through decisions that have been made over the last 30 or 40 years to keep things in public ownership and to ensure that you've got a directly employed workforce in the main to undertake those public services that people, I think, on the island value. I think there is a nervousness about some of the pronouncements that are being made, particularly as you move, you know, in the next 12 months to an election. And it's quite easy to say, in very general terms, how savings will be made and what that will mean without necessarily commenting on what the consequences that nervousness is starting to creep in because of some of the statements that are being made, which are fairly glib, if I'm being honest, and don't talk about the implications.
Prospects, Mick Hughan, the National Secretary, Jez Stewart, obviously they're giving the union point of view. I just wonder what your thoughts are about this, with the Chief Minister pledging to rein in public sector headcount. And as they said, what that means is cuts. We talked about homeschooling last week, got lots of messages regarding homeschooling, the increase in homeschooling numbers. I wonder if this is partly due to religious convictions of parents. I'm not criticising or directing this at any particular denomination or faith group. It's just an idea. Excuse me. But I also got a message in from Anne. This is from Jane, who just said, it could be that a lot of this is about neurodivergent children. My particular son is neurodivergent and simply couldn't cope with school, so he's now being schooled at home. So a lot of this may be ADHD or autism and children being taught at home. So perhaps this is why the numbers going up. I felt like I was constantly battling with primary school on the Isle of Man for my children. My friend homeschooled her children for all the reasons the lady said this morning, and due to concerns about religious beliefs. However, homeschooling was never an option for me. I was intellectually and financially able, but there's more to school than learning. My friend's children, now in their 20s and 30s, while successful academically, all have problems dealing with the real world, with peer relationships and routine. Now, unless you live in a very remote area, home education is not in the majority of children's best interests, in my opinion, says Ali. It was mentioned that there was an increase in homeschooling. What happens with qualifications for homeschool children? Do parents have to pay to put them through exams? How do they follow the curriculum? Is that governed by the education department, or do they just go their own way? Why does no one talk about the elephant in the room? Which elephant in the room? Texter 100. The Isle of Man banks charge considerably more for the same mortgage than if you lived in the UK. We're penalised financially by the banks just for living here. If mortgages were cheaper, more people would buy a house. And again, this is just a follow-up to the airport being closed last week. Urgent government interventions needed at the airport. Too many outsourced departments like Menzies will not help passengers in need if it doesn't meet their terms and conditions. It's an awful experience using the airport now. The airport is broken and needs to be put back together under full government control, says Paul. Well, that's another one that I'll put to Michelle Haywood this coming Friday when the infrastructure minister is in. How can you make a 15-minute city on the Isle of Man when you can get from Douglas to Peel in that time? Can anybody tell one amenity in Douglas is more than 15 minutes away? That's Texas 739. Well, it depends whether you're walking, cycling or in a car, doesn't it? And as a 15-minute city, I think is going to preclude car use. 15 minutes, I'm guessing, will be by bike, scooter or Shanks's pony. Here's Adam with us now. Hi, Adam. We're trying to find Adam. Adam's disappeared. More messages now. I went to Douglas Promenade to look at the fairy lights over Christmas. All I could see were little lights at the top of lampposts that did nothing. Douglas in gloom, says that correspondent. Looking forward to talking to Michelle Haywood on Friday. A message in from Russell, who says, I'll certainly be asking about Ronald's Way Airport. What is going to be happening? Certainly a bit of snow and ice, and we couldn't open the runway, or have we got the right de-icing equipment? Are we using de-icer, anti-icer? What's going to happen? I've flown all over the world and flown in some fairly icy places, and they managed to get their runway open. Are we saying that just because we can't do it straight away, or maybe it's going to cost too much, or maybe we didn't know about it in time, that we're not going to do it? What does it say about us being an international finance and business centre if we can't get a runway open in 6 hours? Also,
when the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
I think we found Adam. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me now?
Just about, yes. Did you put your 4 pence in?
Yeah, I did. I'm just bringing up, before Angela Moffat left the island, when she was in charge of the trade unions and in charge of the Prospect Union, she referred to the government as a government of duffers. Do you remember that?
A government of what?
Of duffers.
Oh, duffers.
D-U-F-F-E-R-S.
Right.
Duffers. And nobody said anything about that at the time. So why is there now this big problem over, you know, somebody calling the government clowns? You know, why is it when a firebrand in a position of power said something, you know, calls them a name or something, a mild name, not anything too offensive, nobody says anything because they're scared of them. And yet, Joe Bloggs, the general public, they should watch what they say. And everybody in the Alaman should go around watching what they say and all not upsetting anybody. You know, people need to speak out. They need to speak the truth. We need transparency. And
well,
we need...
There'll be plenty of that as we come into the election, surely, won't there?
Well, hopefully, Andy. Hopefully so. And, you know, it's at one stage, Angela Moffat was saying how wonderful it was that we had very strict slander laws, you know. Very, very, very important, she thought, that we had those. But I don't think so. I think people need to be able to tell the truth about other people.
Okay.
And, you know, I think we don't need to be forced into silence.
Okay, good to hear from you. Thanks, Adam. Well, it's all counting down to the election, the general election. Thursday, 24th of September this year, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. The people will speak. The House of Keys is dissolved on the 13th of August. And on the 26th of August, candidate nomination period will close. And then we'll know who's standing for Keys. Will it be you? Next door neighbour? In all seriousness, are you going to stand? Are you going to vote? Right, that's it. Back with another open line tomorrow. Lots more questions I didn't get to today. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.